Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, July 29th, 2014, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host for the evening, Anastasia. We'd like to offer our sympathy to Lavendar for the loss of a family member, so she won't be with us this evening, but Lavendar will be back with us next week. The Autumn Crystal Quest starts on the next equinox, September 21 to 27, so if you feel drawn to crystals, you want to reconnect with your soul family, and your chart has 25, 26, 27 degrees in any of these signs, Taurus, Scorpio, Cancer, Capricorn, Aquarius, or Leo, you have the rites of passage to participate. If you're not sure if you have those markings, just send an email to crystals@starseedhotline.com for more details. Our Starseed Spotlight this week is on Christy Borst, who does intuitive energy healing, both physical and emotional. Her remarkable gift for tapping into source healing energy and directing it on behalf of her clients was activated in a rather sudden and interesting way. After living in the 3D marketing and design field most of her life, a series of events has unlocked a healing ability that she was born with but had submerged. Also incorporating her artistic abilities into healing works of art and learning that she can help clients to erase karmic debts and ancestral issues, she has designed what she calls Perspective Reboot, and she'll be talking about how that works. Because of other starseeds, she can also help other starseeds because of her background as a marketing maven. She can help other starseeds market their services. Christy has also offered to take calls from our audience to help with issues you may be having. Her websites are starseedhealer.com and healingresonance.us. We'll be starting this evening with Anastasia's Starseed News segment, bringing us topics that you won't hear about in the mainstream media. We'd like to thank Vanya and Claudia for hosting the switchboard this evening, and you can call in with comments or questions for Christy on 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 when you're prompted so we know you have a question. If you like the show, please click follow on our page and you'll get a weekly announcement about our next episode. We're also on iTunes if you'd like to download any of our shows to go. We also have an online Starseed community at starseedhotline.ning.com. That's N-I-N-G.com. And special thanks go to Tammy for her dedication to the forum. Starseed Hotline's toll-free number is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. And if you have a birthday coming up, you can find out how to make the most of your 10 hours of power by requesting your solar return timing. So I would like now to introduce Anastasia with the Starseed News.
Good evening, everybody. It's so wonderful to be with you. I can't believe it's my turn already.
Well,
I'm so
yes, Ariel.
Time does fly by, absolutely. Well, I hope everybody's had a wonderful week. It's been an eventful week across the planet with a lot of things happening. We've got a lot of news to cover, so I guess I'd better cut the chit-chat and just get started here. Anyway, as far as the sun is concerned, in the traditional terms of forecasting, they say that it's mostly quiet with a chance of flares. They say with a profusion of new sunspots peppering the solar disk, the sun is beginning to look as it should during the solar max, but the question they're asking is, when will it begin to act as it should? They say that solar activity still remains low for the third week in a row. So everybody's scratching their heads over that. And we have a countdown going on to the Rosetta Comet. This comes from spaceweather.com, by the way. The European Space Agency's Rosetta spacecraft is now less than 2,000 kilometers from Comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko. Wow, that was a mouthful. This whole segment of the show has got me tongue-tied. It's getting me off on the wrong track here. Anyway, this particular comet, they say, is going to be reached in only 8 days by the Rosetta. It's going to reach the comet's core and go into orbit around it. Isn't that amazing? The European Space Agency has launched a spacecraft that's going to orbit this comet. Wow, that's remarkable.
Yeah.
And a minor meteor shower will peak tonight, the annual Southern Delta Aquarid meteor shower, caused by debris, they say, from Comet 96P Match Holtz. See, I told you this was tough.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that peaks tonight with a forecast maximum of 15 to 20 meteors per hour. That should be a pretty good show if you're in the right place. And today, which happens to be July 29th, 2014, there were 1,493 potentially hazardous asteroids. Today, there one went by called 0W3 at 9.6 lunar distances. But you know what? A few days ago, one passed at half a lunar distance. Anyway, some days we get a lot, and some days we get a few. This just happens to be a day when there's a lot of them with the meteor shower going on at the same time. There was a 6.3 magnitude earthquake in San Rodriguez Clara, Mexico today, and at least three tornadoes were seen in the Denver metro area yesterday afternoon. Wow, Denver. Confirmed,
yeah.
Twisters touchdown near Fort Lupton and Denver International Airport and the Rocky Mountain Arsenal. They say they spotted a debris field, but there were no reports of injuries. Thank goodness. Michigan. Oh, my, West Michigan. Several communities in West Michigan are cleaning up now after getting slammed by high winds and golf ball-sized hail. They say that there was a strong, powerful thunderstorm that cut a path of destruction along the border of Kalamazoo and Allegan counties in Michigan on Sunday night. They say the sky opened up and Mother Earth just gave them fits. They said people, witnesses, said it sounded like somebody was throwing golf balls at the house, and the hail was everywhere, about 2 inches deep. That's a lot of hail, a lot of ice coming down from the sky. Yeah, we had an interesting thing here in the state where I live in Kentucky. Several nights ago in the daytime, I was outside and was with someone, and they pointed up to the sky, and there was a rainbow underneath the sun in the atmosphere. Well, that's a pretty unusual phenomenon. You know, they're seeing things like that all over the world. This was from ice crystals, of course, the middle of the summer heat. Ice crystals high in the atmosphere created a beautiful rainbow. It wasn't in the typical arc. It was in a horizontal line. But, you know, later that night into the next day, we had horrendous, horrific, awesome, gosh, there's not enough adjectives. I need to get a dictionary. We had a lightning storm that was most memorable. So the weather even here has been totally crazy. We had 1 hour brownouts, messed up my laptop. Wow, and it just hit with a punch. I mean, you didn't even see it coming. It just roared down from Indiana into central Kentucky. So anyway, in our neck of the woods, we've had our share of some really bizarre weather. But I kind of thought that might be connected to those ice crystals that I saw in the sky that afternoon. Well, in Japan, they have had a terrific time with heat. The Japan Meteorological Society has warned of extreme heat several days in a row in Tokyo, other areas as well, after the media had reported that 11 people passed away and almost 1,900 were hospitalized on what they're saying was Japan's hottest day this year. They recorded 95 degrees Fahrenheit, and they say that's by far the hottest in a long time. That is really hot for a tropical climate in a place such as Japan. People were near to perishing with that kind of heat. And in Boston, a county north of Boston, Suffolk County, they had the first recorded tornado in over 64 years. There was extreme weather that rolled to the north of Boston yesterday morning. It spawned a tornado that ripped off roofs, uprooted trees, shattered windows. officials estimated that over, well, maybe 150 structures were damaged. And so the National Weather Service did confirm that. They said the tornado had a path length of 2 miles and a width of 3/8 of a mile. They said it was almost an EF2. They classed it as an EF1, but it was EF2 damage. And they said the winds were up to 120 miles per hour, which is really rare for the Boston area, needless to say. And in Siberia, let me tell you what. I have found more stories about weird stuff happening in Siberia. I'm always interested in Siberia because that's the home of shamanism and shamanic practices, and I just like Siberia. I like the people. I like the culture. I think it's a fascinating place. But they have really had a handful of trouble. Now, while temperatures in Moscow have been scorching this week, southern Siberia, the weather's been a whole lot chillier. It's been very destructive. They say that at least 7 people in Siberia suffered head injuries, serious head injuries, after walls of hail the size of golf balls rained down on certain residents in a certain part of Siberia. Wow, people got head injuries from hailstones. They said about 3,000 buildings and innumerable cars were damaged in the downpour, which, when you think about it, I'm surprised they have cars in Siberia, but they do. And they said that it shattered 1,600 square meters of glass. Wow, there were videos on YouTube about that, and it was fierce, really fierce. And, you know, the weather, the temperatures in Siberia have also been yo-yoing. Really weather extremes. They had a record-breaking summer temperatures in major cities along with freak hailstones, and they said that some of the hailstones, not just golf ball size, but bigger than that. And then at the same time, in the western Siberia, snow fell, giving a ground unprecedented 5 inches. While it is roasting hot on one side of the country, it is snowing on the other side. In the east side of the country, three months' worth of rain fell in a day and a half, and the local people, they say, were water skiing along the highways.
Oh, my.
Amazing, amazing. Siberia's also had an outbreak of huge sinkholes. They show photographs of those on the Internet. They just pop it up everywhere. Reindeer herders have practically fallen into these. Maybe some have. Who knows? They might have fallen in and nobody would know. It's such a remote area. But the photographs make them look like, I don't know, miniature Grand Canyons. I mean, these things are huge. They're even calling them funnels because they go down so deep into the earth. There's a lot of theories about that, about heating inside of the planet that might be causing this or outgassing from core volcanoes, things like that. Nobody is for sure what's going on. But Siberia is making a lot of news with its weird weather and major huge sinkholes and just weird things happening in that part of the world. And in London, they've been having flash floods and severe storms that have actually trapped people in their homes and trapped people in their cars in West London. This was just yesterday. Actually, it was Sunday, excuse me. They recorded more than 42 millimeters of rainfall. That's probably 20-some inches. Caused train stations and roads to be closed off. And they say that in some areas of London, more than 2 weeks of rain, 2 weeks worth of rain, fell in 1 hour. 1 hour. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's just bizarre, isn't it? And then, of course, we have the drought in the West. And that leads into the next story, which is the drought in California is bringing out all kinds of animals. But one of the things you don't think about, I did when I lived in the desert, but we're talking here the Bay Area, one of the things you don't think about are rattlesnakes. And they're having a real problem with rattlesnakes in Central California because of the drought. In fact, one area reported removing 72 rattlesnakes out of a subdivision in a week. Well, it's the drought conditions that are causing this. They've cut back on watering their lawns. The snakes are coming closer to the houses. They think because of the drought, because people aren't watering a lot, so the ground's drying up and rodents come out and the snakes come after the rodents, and people are really having a problem. And they're just telling people to keep their garages closed, don't leave your garage doors opened, and watch out for snakes in your yard. And I'll tell you, having lived in the desert myself in California, that once a rattlesnake sort of comes into your yard, it's very territorial, like a dog or other animals. it will claim your property, and I don't care how many times you carry it away, if you don't take it miles and miles away, it will come back again and again and again. So when you find a snake, you need to call the proper help. It's not something for you to try to take away by yourself. If you think you can carry a rattlesnake a few yards or a few miles away and dump it in a ravine or something, it'll come back. So these have to be professionally hauled away from your residence, and you really do want to be careful about that. Well, and also in California, lightning struck 14 people. A 20-year-old man died Sunday after an episode of lightning, like we had here the other night, struck 13 people at a Los Angeles beach, and another person that was a golfer on Catalina Island struck these people during a thunderstorm that went through Southern California on Sunday. Wow. And by the way, you guys, lightning is becoming a major thing in the news. We're having so many severe lightning storms across the planet, which is a subject for discussion perhaps on another day, but it's really connected to the biosphere and probably maybe magnetic shifts, things like that. Well, there was an earthquake magnitude 6.0 today in the northern mid-Atlantic range. Other than that, I haven't found out too much on earthquakes of great significance in the last few days. But I will tell you that a rare plover from the Arctic tundra turned up in the UK. It was thousands of miles from where it should have lived or been found. People are dumbfounded. It's a very rare bird, but it's the wrong time of the year. It should be in its own breeding ground way up north, thousands of miles into the northwestern Alaska, and they have no idea what it's doing in the UK. This has been happening all over the planet. Rare fish showing up from thousands of miles from their home territory. Birds, definitely, lots of birds, but also fish and other animals, even wolves, animals like that coming down way out of their territory, which could also indicate magnetic problems, problems with the magnetic field. We really, science says it does not know. But speaking of magnetic field, this is an article that I want you to take with a grain of salt. I'm reporting it to you because I thought it was really interesting, and I think that you all like interesting, so I'm just going to read it to you as I picked it up from the EU Times on the Internet. And a grim report, they say, prepared by the Commander-in-Chief of the Russian Air Force on the just-completed scientific mission of North America, carried out by four of their strategic aircraft and two of their aerial refueling tankers, that electronically swept for magnetic anomalies from Alaska to California. This report warns that a catastrophic event may be nearing this region. U.S. officials, it should be noted, this article says, characterized this purely scientific mission as a bombing run that came within 50 miles of the coast of California, but which the U.S. Air Force was able to repel by launching F-15 fighter jets. The report, however, states that the scientific mission was necessitated, and here's what's interesting, by a severe mysterious magnetic anomaly detected by the Cosmos 2473 satellite on the 3rd of June occurring in the Yellowstone region of the western United States, which resulted in what is called an earthquake swarm. Now, I did report that on Starseed News. We talked about that, as well as another incident that this report refers to, which we're going to get to in a minute. The article goes on to say that it's important to note that the June 3rd Yellowstone magnetic anomaly, that the satellite measurements show that this anomaly was precipitated by the mysterious earthquake swarm that happened in the Brooks Range Mountains in Alaska. And I also talked to you about that on Starseed News. And that earthquake swarm, seismologists are still at a loss to explain. Nobody had any idea what caused it. It was not over a fault. There's no volcanic activity underground. Nobody knows what caused that. And it really, really did stir up the scientific community when that happened. Well, the information relating to the linking of these two events, this report by Russians say, was further verified by the USGS. The magnetic anomaly map that they put out and the data for North America shows a strange magnetic disturbance or ripple emanating from the Brooks Range and ending at Yellowstone on the 3rd of June. both of these areas. They say it's important to note that it's part of the Rocky Mountains that stretch more than 3,000 miles from the northernmost part of British Columbia to western Canada to New Mexico and in the southwestern United States. Now, they say that of grave concern to Russian military authorities relating to these events is the catastrophic effect that they feel it could have on the magnetoception inertial navigation systems that's employed by many U.S., NATO, Russian warplanes, which use these highly sophisticated aircraft flight devices. Well, in a nutshell, these devices operate on the magnetic field of the Earth, and they say that this did not pose any threat to commercial aircraft because they do not use this type of sophisticated military application in their navigational instruments. But the article also brings up that there were two U.S. fighter jets that crashed on the 4th of June, and I think I might have mentioned that in Starseed News. I really can't remember that far back.
Yeah,
I might have collected.
Did.
I did. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were identified as that U.S. Navy FA-183 that went down when the pilot was attempting to land aboard the carrier of Carl Vinson and a U.S. Marine Harrier AV-8B jet that crashed into a residential community in Imperial about 90 miles east of San Diego. Now, both of them occurred within hours of each other, and that is a concern to them. They figure that that is connected to the magnetic anomaly that messed with the jet's navigational devices. So they say, the Russians are saying that they think that this is all connected to the rapidly shifting north magnetic pole, which since 2005 has been moving at a rate of 25 miles a year from Arctic Canada toward, again, Siberia. Very interesting, isn't it, that Siberia is having so much weather anomalies and so on. Well, independent research from last year further warns that this shift is still picking up speed. And according to this research, it should reach Siberia within 2 years. And one of the effects of the rapidly shifting magnetic North Pole being noticed the most, according to this report, are the airport runway systems being disrupted because of it. And the article brings out evidence that Tampa International Airport had been forced to readjust its runways in 2011 to account for the movement of the Earth's magnetic fields. Wow, isn't that something?
Wow,
so,
it is.
Anyway, yeah, they say that the poles that we have, magnetic poles, are generated by movements within the Earth's inner and outer cores, although nobody understands the exact process. They say and confirm that, of course, these poles are constantly in flux, moving a few degrees every year. They say that, but the changes are almost never in recent times, at least since we've been flying, have never been of such a magnitude that runways have needed to be adjusted. The Russians ended their report by saying, "We may be on the verge of a catastrophic North American event that could possibly change the world forever, and we should be prepared." The report also indicated, referred to other articles across the net, that the United States has come into agreements with various countries for the deportation of American citizens in the event of catastrophe so that they could have citizenship or temporary citizenship in other nations in the case of the need to evacuate North America. Anyway, that was an article which I found interesting, and I just wanted to pass that along. I thought it might be something that you might find interesting. And we have a real problem. You know, every week I'm talking about water. Well, about a year ago, I think it was, it's been some time since I mentioned the Ogallala Aquifer. The Ogallala Aquifer sprawls out between underneath 8 states in the heart of the U.S., and it's being depleted so rapidly it's causing so much alarm. They say that it normally spans 111 million acres and 175,000 square miles, and it feeds the agricultural region from South Dakota through Nebraska and Kansas all the way to the Texas Panhandle. But they say now, because the Ogallala Aquifer is being depleted, and it is being depleted. There was a report on this that indicated that it's an internationally important crisis, because people all over the world, experts anyway, are concerned about how the populations of the planet are going to be fed when the American breadbasket dries up. And right now, as it stands, farmers are holding a dry pail because they're trying to catch whatever rainwater they can from the sky to water their crops. It's actually that low. They're really having problems. Now, we're not talking about the California drought. We're talking about water shortage in the Midwest. Now, this Ogallala Aquifer is, they say, unique. And I don't understand why. The article didn't say, but this says it can't be replenished by surface water or precipitation. They say that when it's used up, there's just no more water to go around. So people are discussing, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to grow our plants? What's going to happen? Well, I brought this article to your attention tonight because I was really excited by the alternative. They say that there is an alternative on how to produce crops efficiently without wasting water and feed the planet. I'm sure there's other ways, but they said that, you know, we're going to have to use smarter agricultural methods. Yeah, we're all for that. That sounds great. And that we should consider aquaponic farming, which is a fusion of raising fish and crops using no soil and minimal recyclable water. They say that using this method, the microbes from the fish waste fertilize the vegetables, fruits, and herbs. Then the water is recycled through an aquaponic system. It uses up to 90% less water than a conventional gardening or farming method. And they say that as we run out of water underground, this method of farming will have to be employed. It will allow for maximized food production, efficient use of space, cleaner food, and of course it will save water. Isn't that cool? I mean, I don't know why we aren't doing that right this minute. Amazing stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, if we were in charge, if us Starseed, if we were in charge, this would be done. We wouldn't have the problems we're having now. Well, you know, along with that, I've just got some kind of, I guess, kind of bummer-like news about the Midwest, but don't let it bother you. It's just the way it is. It's stuff that's going out there, but I wanted to pass this along because a lot of people are interested in Walmart. Actually, I put this on tonight just because of Walmart. But the USGS put out a update of their national seismic hazard maps. And, you know, this is not really new news to anybody who's been watching things or who's, you know, kind of just half aware. But these people have to have paychecks. They have to justify their existence, so they consistently do studies and they put out new maps and whatever. So what appears to be news, and it's been on national news, and sometimes I think they like to scare us, but whatever. Anyway, this new map showed the Midwestern part of the United States, the central U.S. and the East Coast has higher seismic hazards than previously thought, particularly Missouri and Illinois, as well as Tennessee and Kentucky and other states in the central region. The USGS says that the frequency of earthquakes in the central and eastern U.S. has quintupled recently to an average of 100 a year during 2011 to 2013, up from only 20 per year during the 30-year period before 2000. Now, even though they acknowledge that most of these quakes are minor, they are saying that, you know, we don't know if it's going to stay that way. Now, some of this is caused by wastewater injection, as they figured out. All of those earthquakes in Oklahoma, the biggest was 5.7. And some of them are not. They're concerned about the fault lines. And so, and by the way, you guys, this story came out of the Wall Street Journal that I'm talking to you about tonight. Walmart stores has also taken note of this study, and they are conducting earthquake drills in this part of the country. They are conducting these drills, they say, to protect their employees because they want prepared for anything that could happen along the New Madrid fault line. And they're doing something about it. They're teaching their people how to duck and cover. They say that they, you know, they had the earthquake in 1811 and 1812. They reported in those days that it rerouted the Mississippi River. It made it flow backwards. And you could hear church bells ring in Boston. They don't know what the size of that quake was. Some experts say it could have been a 9 or higher. But that's the kind of quake that people are anticipating at some point, the big one, so to speak. Californians talk about the big one. But these kinds of larger quakes are what these companies are beginning to prepare for by teaching their employees to duck and cover. So that's kind of news in the Midwest about earthquake preparedness. All right, we're going to sum up tonight's news, but before I do that, I'm going to talk to you about a really cute story. You know, you ought to think about getting one of these things. Well, maybe you don't want to, but it's cool. It's called the Bistro Smart Cat Feeder. It was designed by a team of researchers from Taiwan. Kind of a crazy idea, but it's so crazy, you know, it just might work. It's in the crowdfunding stage right now, but this is a device that combines several different technologies to make sure your cat is eating properly. And by the way, that's properly as defined by us humans, not by cats. Because, you know, if you leave it up to the cats, they'll just eat and eat and eat and eat, right? Well, this is sort of like other automated cat feeders. The Bistro will let you dispense measured amounts of food for your cat when the kitty's home alone, but that's just the beginning. This Bistro cat feeder has weight sensors beneath both the food bowl and the platform in front of the cat to calculate how much food he eats, and then the information will be sent wirelessly to your smartphone. And it logs all dietary data so you can monitor or restrict your cat's intake. But here's the ingenious part. For families with multiple cats, the Bistro incorporates a camera and a facial recognition system to identify which cat is eating what and when. So if your alpha cat is bullying the others and stealing their food, you can just bust the furry little devil with photographic evidence, and you can use the built-in camera as a kind of feline nanny cam, too, because it has a little camera in there that keeps an eye on what your kitties do. You can check in on the cats while you're away to see what they really are into. And last story of tonight, when you think things can't get any dumber, honestly, creationist Ken Ham has said, and this is a, you know, creationist biblical guy, okay? He has said that the U.S. space program is a waste of money because any alien life that scientists found would be damned to hell. I'm quoting people. These are not my words, as you would well guess. He said, "I'm shocked at the countless hundreds of millions of dollars that have been spent over the years in the desperate and fruitless search for extraterrestrial life." He argues that secularists are desperate to find life in outer space as part of their rebellion against God in a desperate attempt to supposedly prove evolution. He said, "Life did not evolve, was specially created by God, as Genesis clearly teaches. Christians certainly shouldn't expect alien life to be cropping up across the universe, but regardless whether there's life in outer space or not, no matter what, it could not be truly intelligent." And that's about the most unintelligent thing I've ever read to you on Starseed News. But it takes all kinds just when you think things can't get any dumber.
That's funny.
Do you ever feel like, Starseed, that the life on this planet is just like a merry-go-round that is out of control? We just have to laugh.
Well, you know, Mother Earth,
seriously.
Mother Earth is just shaking it up so that kind
Absolutely.
Of gets a reality check. Well.
She's going to get the fleas off her back, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a great day to be alive. It's a great life. We have much work to do, and there are many, many beautiful things. And so we got to keep on keeping on because we are here for a purpose, and man, are we ever needed. Well, I'll get off my soapbox now and turn the program over to our guest.
All right.
It's great to be with y'all. Much love from Anastasia. Y'all have a great week.
Thank you so much, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Well, we are going to bring Christy Borst online right now. Hello, Christy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ariel. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
You are so welcome. I'm just kind of reeling from that last story, but I can't even go there. We are so glad to have you with us because you do some really interesting work, and the way that this came about is also very interesting. So just to help introduce you to the audience, why don't you just give us a little bit about your background and your growing up time, and what was your reality then as opposed to
okay.
now?
Okay. Well, I grew up in Rhode Island. I've actually lived in New England my entire life. I currently live in Southern Maine. I went to school to study business administration, and I've always had an artistic background or an artistic kind of talent. So at one point in my early working, I was introduced to marketing communications, which is basically advertising and selling products and services. And I saw how it combined my love for art and also my love for writing. And so I decided that's what I wanted to do. And so in the mid-80s, when I was in my actual mid-20s of my life, I started my own one-person advertising and marketing company. And I've been successfully doing that for nearly 30 years now, and was actually married quite young. I got married when I was 22 to a fellow I met the third day I was on the college campus, and we have had an exceptional life together, including having two daughters together who are currently in their early 20s. We waited quite a while to have children intentionally. But around probably maybe middle 2010, early 2011, as the girls were getting older, I started to think about what, you know, I wanted to do with my forever. And while I really have enjoyed my work all of my life, I kind of felt like there was something else there, but I didn't really know what it was. And so I kind of almost like asked myself, you know, if I could do anything, what would it be? And the only answer that came to me, Ariel, was to help other people. And so I kind of thought, well, I'm kind of doing that now. You know, there must be something else. And in early 2011, I think it was, a friend sent me a link to a YouTube video, which was a video with channeled information from the Galactic Federation. And I kind of felt like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz watching Toto pull back the curtain. And something just kind of clicked, and it just kind of set me on this incredible journey to understand what I kind of call reality beyond reality, because I feel that there's so much to life that we aren't told about, and that we, you know, we can kind of find on our own, and certainly programs like yours really do a lot to guide us to the information that's going to be our next little kind of aha moment that takes us to the next aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
So around that time, as I said, I still wasn't really sure, you know, where things were going, and I was kind of seemingly out of the blue moved by an ad in the paper to take a Reiki course. And so I took the course and didn't, you know, nothing really kind of happened with that. I was actually the only one in my class that had never even heard of chakras. And if any of the listeners do not know what chakras are, we are basically, you know, not just a physical body, we have these energy centers in our bodies. There's not, you know, there are hundreds of them. Most people talk about the seven major ones, which are in our core body. But, you know, I hadn't even heard of those. So I was kind of on this whole, information quest of learning this whole different world that I never even knew existed. And I started reading about quantum physics and just exploring, theories of hollow earth and, you know, things I had never even known existed or, you know, were possibilities. So this kind of, I believe, was almost like a deprogramming time for me, in which I almost allowed myself to release the boundaries on what I believed was possible and what I was able to reach for myself.
Right, it's like throw out everything you ever thought was true.
Right. And it was funny because I kind of say now that when you forget everything you think you knew, you actually know everything. We really have so much information in and of ourselves, but sometimes it takes going on these journeys and exploring these things to trigger us to remember who and what we are.
And you had a very early memory of healing, and then that was submerged as you went through all of this, and then that, you know, the video led to one thing, led to another thing, and you started exploring all these things. And then I think you said there were three things that happened, like, right in a row.
Yeah. I actually started healing myself, Ariel, I think maybe in, 2011, 2012, after taking the energy classes that I was taking. And, one time I burned myself really badly on the oven rack, and I just put my hand on it and just almost like affirmed to myself that I didn't burn myself and that I was not going to be burned or was not going to be affected by it. And in the morning, I just had a very minor mark on my arm. So I started doing these things for myself and started having readings, which I had never had before. And the first thing people would say to me is, "You're a great healer." And I would kind of think, well, they can see me healing myself. But it wasn't until early 2013, actually, I need to back up, end of 2012, I had a reading, and the person said to me, "You're going to start performing miracles soon." And I basically just laughed, and because I had no concept of what he was talking about. And he said, "And you're going to go on to teach people." And I laughed again, and I said, "Well, am I going to know what I'm doing before I'm teaching other people?" And he just said to me, "When the time is right, you will know what you need to know." And that's pretty much how it happened for me. I had another reading in early 2013, and the fellow reminded me that I had had the ability to heal when I was a child, and I had been told not to do it to protect me. And I basically said, "Well, I'm a grown woman. I don't need protection." And I asked him if he could. He was a shaman and a Native American. And I asked him if he could work with me and help me release any contract I had made with my parents. And we worked on that together. And then the next month, I had three separate days. I was doing some energy training. I took a class one day. I did a oneness blessing. I did that one day. And then I was just in a sacred geometry class. And each of those days, there was someone that I came in contact with that I just knew that I could help, and basically approached them saying, I'm not a healer, but something is telling me I can help you. Can I, you know, try? And it was like amazing results. So I just kind of said, okay, this is not a fluke. And I kind of went on to try to work with people over the phone. I worked with someone in France that I knew, and kind of equally startling results. So I just stepped forward and embraced what I believe I'm here to be offering.
Well, that is great that you can go from, I mean, it's a great demonstration for others, because, you know, a few weeks or a few months before this sequence of events took place, you had no idea it was coming. So for the listeners, I would just like to say that you never know what the tide will bring in. And
absolutely.
When you're feeling like lost and you're looking for answers and you don't think you're getting any, just hold steady. Because
the other thing I want to...
It came to you like out of the blue and activated all this latent talent, and really it was a gift that you had promised to use, but it was, you know, it wasn't the time yet. So all these activations happen, the synchronicities, and the fact that you had three people in 3 days, because I guess first you had to believe in yourself.
Absolutely. The other thing I want to point out is that when I had first kind of asked myself, what do I want to do, and, you know, what my intuition was to go for what the feeling was that I wanted, not the specific job. So what came to me was that sense of wanting to help people, of being a helper. So I think that's a clue for other people too, is try not to pigeon yourself into a specific job. Try to find what the feeling is,
outcome.
Core part of you is that's going to be nourished or that's going to be expressed by what you do. Now, I never would have dreamed that the ending would be as grand as it is. So I'm glad I just let go and, you know, I listened as I was led to things.
Well, that's a very, very important key. And I would like to interject right now just to give everyone a heads up that Christy has graciously agreed to do a few mini healing sessions for our listeners. So you need to press 1 on your keypad so that we know you want to talk to Christy. And I just wanted to give them the heads up because it'll take some time for them to get through the process. And
sure.
So
could I explain maybe just a little bit about what the work is that I do?
Yes.
Because I didn't know how how fast I should kind of get into that. But basically, what it seems that has been shown to me is that the physical bodies that we are inhabiting in this, you know, in this lifetime, they are guided by many things. They're guided by our physical makeup itself. It's guided by our mental attitude, our emotions. I didn't mean to group those together, but our mental outlook, our belief system, and also by our emotions. And it's hard to really pinpoint when someone is having a problem, whether its origin is physical mental or emotional, or even karmic or ancestral. And the work that I am doing is both electromagnetic frequency and also a connection with Source that basically intuitively tells me what the person needs on many levels, some of it unconsciously for me, and so that the person is able to release that, whatever that disturbance is or whatever that aspect of their self is, to have their physical body or their emotional body or their mental body return to that place of balance. And so the healing comes as they release these things that they are ready to release.
And that
so
is
it's really a team, it's a team effort here.
Right, they have to be willing to give it up.
Right.
And the pain and the suffering and all that, that they have to be willing to let it go.
Right. And some people have been like they've lived in this story for so long that it's the only story they know and they're afraid to let it go. But I can tell you that it's so much better when you can let go of these things that are really holding you back from being what you may have been called here to be.
That's right. And there's, I mean, as you said, there's so many different layers that you have to look through. And tell us a little bit about, and I know that you have had a session with Lavendar, if you would like to reveal any portions of that, because a lot of people are quite familiar with the way she works.
I had a reading with Lavendar in May of last year, so I had already started doing the energy healing work, and she revealed to me many of the kind of behind the scenes reasons why I was able to do what I'm able to do that I had no real knowledge of, and the lineage of the starseed lineage and the ties to, for example, Galactic Center, which apparently allows me to have what she kind of called this universal library card that allows me to help other people and get the help for them that they need. She also... she pointed out that I am helping many, many people just with my physical presence, that this electromagnetic frequency that I carry, you know, when I'm in a store or when I'm, you know, in an airport, that the people that are next to me are affected positively. You know, it's almost like it's some sort of activation or reset. But that's all, you know, on an unconscious level. But I had, like I said, I had, she said things about, you know, being a master healer and just a lot of things that if it had happened, if I had had her reading like 6 months earlier or 4 months earlier, I probably would have been like really blown away by some of the things she told me. Like in a, it's overwhelming kind of way. But because I had seen these miracles happening, it all like helped me understand what was happening.
And I think it's really interesting about the part of your work that has to do with karmic and ancestral things that people carry. That pretty much operate under the radar. And so can you give an example or
sure.
a taste that you've had?
That was actually one of the insights that Lavendar shared with me, was that I do have this ability to, and everything, you know, without saying, has to be in the person's highest and best interest for these things to happen. So she said, you have almost like this karmic eraser that you can go in and, you know, erase these things for people, and that I have this some sort of intrinsic ability that I don't take on this stuff for other people. I'm basically just acting as a, I guess I would say, just a clear channel for source energy, or a bridge to for source energy to come and help the person that I'm working with. And then as far as the ancestral healing goes, I actually kind of found this fairly early on with working with people, that they would say, you know, well, I have this because, you know, my mother had it, and my mother had it, and my mother before that had it. And I was just shown that this is part of the whole mind-body-spirit belief system that we've been taught, that we do not have to buy into that, and that the energies in the earth right now and the amount that we're awakened, we can actually choose to heal not only ourselves, but heal our ancestral lineage that came before and after us. And that sometimes we are the one that has the broadest shoulders, if you will, and we get the biggest burden of it. But we're not necessarily being asked to just shoulder that burden for our lifetime. We, as I say, we may be the one that's here to clear that burden.
Right. So, you know, the buck stops here. And you go ahead and you clean it up. I mean, they clean it up with your assistance and guidance. And it does kind of straight. And that, you know, that is a huge Pleiadian agenda for cleaning up bloodlines of things that have kind of gotten out of balance or a little askew, and providing interference when people are trying to do their work, or keeping them from waking up. So by helping to clear these things, you really kind of, it's the end of the line for this malady in this bloodline. And
mm-hmm.
then from that person's point on, the descendants that come after don't have to bear that anymore.
Right.
What you're saying.
Right. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, we've been, I feel, kind of provided this script of being, you know, mere mortals, which really kind of undersells what our abilities are as creator beings. You know, I don't think that we're here to be suffering. We're here to maybe go through hard things, but then get to the point where we're able to move past it, and it's in that moving past it that we discover how truly powerful we are.
All right. Well, there's the strength. Your strength has to be tested to make sure that that you have a solid foundation. And certainly, they say, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And it's really that can carry over even to, you know, more spiritual aspects, that, you know,
mm-hmm.
beliefs will be tested, and, you know, sometimes you have to be able to track, why do I believe this? Did it come from programming, or is this coming from source? So
mm-hmm.
do you help with kind of that kind of discernment when people, don't know about some influence, if it's from, you know, for their highest, or if it's something that's actually not for their best good.
Can you give me an example? I'm not clear on like what you might be asking.
Well, if a person, let me think of a scenario, seems to in pursuit of a desire seems to keep bumping up against a wall. Is the wall there because someone told them that it was there, or is the wall there because they need to grow tall enough to step over it? Is it part of a stepping stone rather than a stopping block that someone else put in the way? And how do you tell the difference?
That's a good question. I see what you're asking. For me, like, I can only answer that based on the experiences I've had working with people. And pretty much people have come to me at that point where they want to get past that block. So I can only say that when the person truly wants to get past that block, they can get past that block. But if they believe that that's the way that life has to be and life is hard, then that's what they're gonna. That's what their reality will be.
Yeah, and just as you were answering,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. As you were explaining your answer, I just saw it, and it's like, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how the block got there. If a person wants past it, you're either helping them grow to step over it, or showing them that it's an illusion in the first place.
Correct.
Yeah. So either way, it doesn't matter.
Well, so much of the 3D is an illusion.
Probably the 99% of it. And, you know, certainly we all have gifts and abilities and talents, and it is that 3D programming and mentality that puts the, you know, well, who do you think you are? You can't really do that. I mean, and you really help people to break through that, and because, you know, you are also teaching that that they can do these things too.
Right, because we are all source energy. We are all equal. So I am no better than you. I'm no better than the people that I'm helping. I just have a different gift, and I want to help people move past whatever's holding them back so they can find and embrace what their gift is.
And then, yeah, I mean, one by one, as each of us empowers another, we'll get our missions done. I'd like to talk a little bit about all the resources that you have on your website.
Sure.
I'm seeing people stacking up on the switchboard. So, you have you've done a radio show that is available in podcast.
I did a 13-week radio show. I pretty much had for lack of a better word, I had a download of what shows I wanted to do. And I had some shows where I interviewed other people as part of communicating that message, and then I had some weeks that I felt that I just needed to deliver the message myself. And on pretty much every show, I offered to work with a caller. Most of the shows, I did have a person. And I would hear from people in even weeks or months later, and I know you folks have experienced this as well, that this energy work goes beyond space and time. And so if I was working with someone who had, you know, shoulder pain, and somebody with shoulder pain listened to that show in 2 weeks, if they, you know, could tune into it, then they were also helped. So, but I have, like you said, I have the MP3s there for that. I have some kind of basic what I call healing videos, which are all about empowering and having people realize their true power and dominion over their lives. I have healing artwork. I call it energy and form that is available for purchase. And then, of course, I have links to the private session work I do, which is available over long distance or in person with me in Southern Maine. And the other, the two other things I do, Ariel, is I offer group healing circles. So what that would be somebody could host a group healing circle where they would get a group of people together, and they don't even have to be in the same physical location, as long as I know their names and where they are, and I'll do a group session. And then I also offer pain relief mini sessions. So if somebody needs to have physical surgery and they have just gotten out of surgery, they can schedule in advance general time with me, and I will work with them, when they get out of recovery or within, the days after, whatever they want, to bring their pain down very quickly and remove the trauma from the actual invasion to the physical and energetic bodies, and it helps speed the healing.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
I also have some blogs, which I'm quite proud of the blogs that I write. So I have blogs available too that cover a myriad of topics. And I know in our pre-conversation you had mentioned you like to use analogies, and I love to use analogies too. So many of my blogs are on that basis.
Well, so you have teaching, learning resources as well, and that's great. So there's really a lot of content. I have spent some time on your site, and there really is a lot of content there that all anyone needs to do is just log on. And you had more than one website. Are they all linked together?
Yeah, the domain name I'd like to mention today is, I thought this would be easy for people to remember, it's starseedhealer.com. That will get you into my website.
Okay, and the website comes up Healing Resonance. So you just put a
right,
redirect.
Right, that's the actual name. That's the name of my business, yeah.
Okay.
And then should I mention my phone number if people want to schedule an appointment?
If it's on your website.
Okay.
Obviously it's on your website.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, I guess there's no – I was thinking about
why
your,
don't I do that, yeah. It's
privacy,
just
because, sometimes we get calls at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's okay. It's on an answering machine. So it's 401-466-4901. Again, it's 401-466-4901. And that's actually a Rhode Island area code, but I picked the number because I thought it – didn't have a lot of different digits, so it would be easy.
Right.
I'm all about easy.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of people that are seeking some mini sessions here. So are you ready for that? And I also want to just tell everyone that is waiting, Christy will need to take a pause between each one, so she'd we can't just go from, from one to the next to the next to the next. So are you ready, Christy?
I am ready. Anybody that does energy work has to do a disclaimer, and so I'm just going to do that now. I'm not going to do that between every person, but basically I'm acknowledging that I am not a medical doctor. I am not a licensed therapist. I am not a chiropractor. And that energy healing is intended to augment all of these traditional forms of medicine. And if you do have a medical emergency, you should dial 911 in your given area.
Okay. And let's see. First of all, you have a question from Shelley, who is in Missouri. And she's 32. And I think that's
okay.
All you need to know. Is that correct? That's all you need to know?
Is she going to come on the line so I can talk
yeah,
to her?
Yeah, I was just asking. For
okay,
next.
Yeah.
So, Shelley, you are on the air with Christy.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I feel like I have a blockage in my solar plex area. I've never done anything like this before, so I'm kind of nervous.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just take a nice deep breath and relax. So the way that I work is that I cannot tell what you are physically feeling in your body, and your body intelligence will kind of tell me where I need to go to offer the most support to you. So if I tell you that I'm intending the energy to be in a specific part of your body, but you feel something in another, if you could communicate that to me, that would be helpful.
Okay.
So I'm just going to start by putting my hands on the top of your head just to connect in with you. And just tell me what it is that's making you feel that you have a block in your solar plexus.
I feel like I can't move past like my family background and just having trouble letting it go, I guess.
Okay.
I'm from a very toxic environment.
Okay. So now I'm just going to, I'm picturing that I'm kind of standing behind you and just have my hands kind of gently cradling on your jaw. So are you sensing anything in your body at this point?
It's a little vibration.
And where is that?
Kind of around my jaw. My crown. And
so I'm actually going to go to your heart chakra and your solar plexus at the same time.
Okay.
And in case I forget to tell you later, please really increase your intake of water.
Okay.
After this. Are you sensing anything in your solar plexus?
No.
Okay.
Now I do.
And how would you describe it?
And a warmth and mellowing, I guess.
Okay.
It's like I'm always constricted.
You feel it's always constricted? Is that what you said?
It doesn't feel as constricted now.
Okay. How about the heart chakra area? Is that feeling a little bit less tight too?
Yeah, a little bit. I feel warm.
Okay. To your feet for a second.
I feel a bit of a tingling sensation.
Okay, could you just take a couple of nice deep breaths, and with each exhale, just almost like you're giving me permission to release things. So just believe that, you know, and use that breath to just help me release anything that we can do in this short time. Okay.
Okay.
So let's take a nice deep breath. And again. How are you doing now?
Feel a little lightheaded.
Guess she took a really deep breath.
Yeah. Releasing a little.
Okay. You might actually,
no,
are you laying down?
No, sitting.
I'm sorry? Are you
I'm
sitting. Okay. You might actually feel like a little bit, for lack of a better word, floaty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of working to stretch your energy body in those areas that have been kind of constricted for so long. So I think you'll continue to feel lighter and more release. But do drink more water because that will help this work continue.
Okay.
Okay.
All right,
if you feel moved to, send me an email and let me know how you're doing.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for calling, Shelley. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So that's sort of similar to the work I do in private session, except the sessions are an hour and I have more time to talk to the person about perhaps specific incidents that might have caused a trauma, and then we can work on releasing and working on forgiving those particular situations and the people that were involved.
Right. So obviously, this you're just taking a little one layer off the onion, but there's many, many more to go. So this is just to help people understand how you work. And,
right, and to offer some help. Certainly offer some help. Yeah.
Right, right. So just let me know. I know you need to drink some water yourself.
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good? You're ready to go?
I'm good, yep.
Okay. So
do you have any questions after, like, listening to that, or did anything come up for you that...
And only accepted. I knew I knew you were going to tell her to drink water. Before you said it, it just is like, oh, drinking water. But anyway, next we have Kat on the line. She is in Berkeley, California, at 55 years old. And Kat, you're
okay.
On the air. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Kat McGuire.
Hi, Kat.
Here. Hi.
Oh.
So nice to meet you. Hi, everyone at Starseed Radio. I really related
Welcome.
To this whole letting go of everything I knew.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm in this chrysalis, and I'm going through a sort of a truth and reconciliation with every part of me that took on a lot of stories of how to be.
Mm-hmm.
So now I just feel like I can't move forward. I'm a little bit in this stuck place of not full, you know, forward movement as it was in 3D. I don't want it that way, but still relate to things in that way in terms of, oh, I need to be moving and doing stuff. But, you know, emotionally, energetically, I just feel like I'm in this chrysalis.
Okay. What's coming to me is I did a show, and I can't tell you the date. I guess I could pull up the page. But it was on kind of the same thing that you're talking about, and how we need to focus on what we want, and also, you know, do what we can to move toward it. But then there's also this space of having faith, and that can be the hardest part. Is you know, the butterfly that's in the chrysalis doesn't necessarily know what's coming next or when it's coming, but you know, it has faith and it emerges as this beautiful butterfly. So I just found it. It's July 1st. Trusting your path and its fulfillment, focus, force, and faith. So I'd suggest that you listen to that show.
Okay.
And right now, I think what I'll do is just, is there a specific part of your body that you feel the uncertainty in?
Let's see. Maybe my heart and... in between my heart and solar plexus.
Okay. So did you hear me do the intro with Shelley?
Yes.
Of how my process works. So as you feel things, if you can communicate them to me. If a memory does come back, or you know, self-limiting belief, that kind of thing, it might be something that's ready to be released also. Okay. Mm. So... again, I'm going to start with my hands on your head. Are you feeling anything in your knees? Because for some reason, I keep wanting to address your knees.
Not specifically.
Okay, I'm just going to go there next.
Okay. Stretch them out.
Okay, and now I'm going to go to your heart and solar plexus area. Are you sensing the energy work in your body at all?
Yeah, it feels like ripples starting
okay.
to slowly happen.
Are they centering from the solar plexus heart area or somewhere else?
Yeah, they ripple from the heart down to the solar plexus.
Okay.
Just feeling little ripples. Feels like it's freeing up kind of that what felt like a web around me, kind of, you know, just some
okay.
stickiness.
Thank you for that visual. I'll actually picture a web and be spreading it. I'm also going, picturing like a hand over your heart area, and I'm also going to put a hand over your root chakra, because the root is kind of that place of security and trusting.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling now, Kat?
Wow. First, I felt like a big, like the room filled with light. And then I was feeling emotional because I realized that I didn't want my energy to come out. I was afraid of it to come out, to get big.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's really what I felt like. It was like a self-imposed
withholding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a sarcastic.
Are you ready to let that go?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things I like to say is, whom does it serve to stay small?
Totally, yeah.
Mm. Okay, I'm actually going to work from your backside a little bit.
Okay.
You might feel a energetic pulling. How are you now?
Yeah, I really felt the pull from the root up my spine, the back of my spine.
Okay, take a nice deep breath, a couple nice deep breaths, and just exhale and just, you know, kind of let this integrate.
Thank you.
How's that area feeling now? Is it less?
Yeah, it feels soft. After.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah, all my channels are just flowing and relaxed. Thank you.
You're welcome. Know that sometimes the times when we're waiting are actually gifts to us. So take that as a gift and try to find the gift in it. And just have faith that if you listen to the cues that the universe is giving to you of what your next step is, then that's perfect.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So again, if you could email me, let me know how you're doing, and also please drink, okay?
Okay, we'll do.
And Kat, you're going to be with us in Arkansas.
Yes.
Yeah, Kat is coming on the Crystal Quest. So,
nice.
Yeah, take, like Christy said, appreciate this time of quiet. Because when you come out of that energy, it's like the whole chessboard is going to be changed. So just have trust the divine. So
thank you.
You are so welcome.
You're welcome.
Kat, and I'm looking to meeting you, as all the rest of us are.
Me too. Thanks. I can't wait.
You're welcome. Let's see you
thank
soon.
Thank you, Christy. Okay. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thank you for trusting me to work with you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. We have we have three more people that are waiting. Can you Do you think you can do three
sure.
more?
Sure. We won't take any more, though, right?
No, that's about all we're going to have time for. And,
okay.
Okay,
so you try to keep me on track then for the time, because when I'm doing this, I'm not conscious of the time.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll do that for you.
Okay, perfect.
So,
just gonna take a drink here.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
And Vanya, I just sent you a text there. okay, all right, good. Want to make sure that she was, you know, like actually there. Okay. So let me just open up your microphone. Okay, Christy, this is Vanya, our switchboard host, and Vanya, your mom's name is?
Lisa. Lisa, yes.
And she is in Ottawa, Canada, and
yes.
is, did you say, I don't have your message here, 65?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, Christy. Lisa in Ottawa is 65.
Is she on the line?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I just want to say I have a physical ailment in my shoulder and my arm. It's been numb and very painful. I don't know how those things can happen together, but they did.
Okay.
And for about a week.
And which side is it on, Lisa?
It's on the left side.
Okay. So just try, are you sitting up or laying down or somehow you're relaxed?
I'm sitting down.
Okay. And is there a specific position that this gets into pain and numbness, or is it constant?
It's constant.
Okay. So what's your pain level right now? Like on 1 to 10.
Yeah, it's about 8.
Okay. Okay, so again, just let me know as you feel things. You might feel heat. You might feel tingling, goosebumps, any kind of different sensations that are in your body. So just try to be aware of the physical, okay?
Okay.
And if any memories or thoughts come to you, if you could share those even in a general way, that would be helpful.
Okay.
So I'm just going to place my hands on your head.
The intensity of the pain, it's a little bit less.
Okay. I'm going to put a hand on each of your shoulders. So kind of picture me standing behind you, and I just have my hands on your shoulders.
Yes, I have tingling in the elbow of my left arm.
Okay. So I'm going to stay on that side for a second, and I'm going to have one hand on your left shoulder and the other one on your left elbow.
Yeah, I feel waves of energy. Sometimes the pain subsides, sometimes it comes back.
Tell me where the pain is, Lisa.
It's my elbow, left elbow, and up towards the shoulder.
Okay, so that whole distance?
Yes.
Okay. And do I explicitly have your permission to release whatever is maybe stuck energetically in that area?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay, how's that doing now?
It's getting better. waves of pain shooting back and forth. And sometimes it subsides and then it comes back.
Okay. So if you ask it if there's some sort of message that it's trying to give you, do you hear anything in your mind?
No, I'm my thoughts are with the pain, and I'm not able to talk about that.
Okay, so just stop for a second now and just ask it if it's trying to tell you something.
I'm being told to relax.
Okay, so just relax as much as you can right now. Does that have a deeper meaning for you? Have you been either like hyperactive or stressed out about something?
I didn't think I was, but obviously it seemed to be causing Christy some kind of a pain. So it's possible that I need to do some stretch exercise or something. And relaxation.
The analogy I like to use with pain sometimes is that the pain is trying to many times tell us something. But like a child having a temper tantrum, we try to ignore it. And as we ignore it, it gets more and more intense. So if you can kind of take this, you know, these kind of breathers and ask it what it's trying to tell you, and just as if it were a child having a temper tantrum, just send it love instead of sending it, you know, fear and anger.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That will be, you know, your way to work on this. And how is it feeling now? Is it still
it's a little
the
bit
shooting?
Better. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
It's a little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just, you know, drink your water and just kind of relax and kind of, again, send your love there. And then, I lost my train of thought. Sometimes, when I do this energy work, Lisa, the pain will actually, spike, after the session. Like it might get really intense, but just take that as the pain leaving and just let it go. And do not go to, you know, a place of fear. Just, you know, say, okay, this is ready to go. And, you know, you can picture it like going down your arm and going right out your hand, or you can, you know, kind of let it out your elbow. I've been kind of working on trying to get it out of through both of those places. I'm just going to do a little bit right now in your armpit too. Okay, how are you feeling now?
It's a little bit better, but I have to relax some more and send in more love. And I thank you very much, Christy.
You're welcome.
Have a good evening.
Thank you. Just let me know how you're doing. I know it's difficult to do a lot in this short time because there might be another component to this in the emotional layer that it's hard to kind of ask you the questions that, you know, in a public forum. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Christy.
You're welcome, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so you need to get yourself a drink of water there, Christy, and I think we might be able to, we have two more people waiting, and I think we might be able to do this. We'll sure try. And
okay.
Next, are you ready?
I am, yes.
Okay. We are going to be talking to Giovanna, who is 47, lives in Los Angeles. Hello, Giovanna, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Giovanna, it's Christy.
Hi, Christy.
What led you to call today?
Oh, I thought she gave you the information. Well,
I was going to let you tell her.
Oh, okay. I'm just completely, completely exhausted, beyond weary, and my stomach and heart have been giving me issues.
Okay. So let me just connect in through the top of your head first, and do drink plenty of water. And I don't know if you've heard me working with the other people, but I kind of need to know what you're feeling and where you're feeling it and if any kind of memories or thoughts come up for you.
Okay.
I'm going right to your heart and stomach areas.
Nothing unusual on my end. Nothing's coming up.
Okay. Okay.
The pain in my stomach has a lot to do with not being able to stomach. It comes from childhood.
Okay.
It's a full circle symptom.
Okay, I'm going to work to kind of stretch your energy field in that area, but I honestly, issues that you've been holding that long really would require a longer session.
Oh, I'm not holding them anymore. It's just, it's too much to go into on a short, I don't want to tell a whole long story. I just thought maybe you could help me move a bit of the energy and how depleted I'm feeling. I've been in kind of an isolation bubble for a while, and I was just thrust out into the public, and it took its toll on me. So I'm trying to recuperate.
Okay. So are you sensing me working in your body or energy field at all?
No, honestly, I'm not.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Done some energy stretching, and I'm just going to work again on the heart and the stomach areas.
Thank you.
So do you ground your energy into the earth at all?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And do you also do any, like, connecting with Source up through your crown?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Because that will be helpful in balancing your energies.
Yeah, especially when I'm in nature, I do that.
Okay, so you need to do that when you're, you know, as you just said, thrown out into the public. You need to make sure not just when you're in these, in the nature, but in just as a way to ground yourself and stabilize your energy.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you contact me through my website, Giovanna, I have a little kind of illustrative diagram I can send to you to help you with that.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you. Let's
see. So just drink, you know, drink more water and. Just let yourself. Feel expanded, and this will continue to work with you for, you know, the next while and the coming days. So let me know how you're doing, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Okay, well, we've got about 8 minutes left here, and I think that we can... we can help one more person. And let me get the microphone turned on. We're going to be talking to Cliff. And
okay.
Cliff is in Colorado in 75.
Could I maybe just mention my website again before we do Cliff in case we run out of time?
Absolutely.
Okay. My name's Christy Borst, and my business is Healing Resonance. The website URL is starseedhealer.com. So I'm ready to work with Cliff. And I missed his age and location.
75 in Colorado. And
okay.
Cliff, you're on the air with Christy. Cliff?
Good evening, Christy.
Cliff, thanks for calling in.
My pleasure. My pleasure to talk to you.
What can I help you with?
I'm short of breath. And stamina.
Okay.
If you can work on that, that would be great.
Okay, sure. So let me know if you feel energy in another part of your body than what I'm telling you I'm working on. That'll be your body's cue to me of where I need to go next.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to connect in with you through the top of your head, hands on your crown chakra. And then I'm just going to place a hand on your, like, upper chest in the front and also in the back. Have you had yourself checked with a medical doctor?
Yes, here a while back.
Okay. And is it a lung issue or a heart issue, or did they not find anything?
They didn't find anything.
Okay.
COPD, I think, is what they said.
Okay. So that's kind of a lung function, lung capacity issue.
Yes.
So can you just try to take a nice, relaxed breath for me?
Mm-hmm.
And how's that feeling?
I'm not telling any difference yet.
Okay. And do I have your permission, Cliff, to release any kind of energetic block that might be held in your lungs?
Yes, of course.
Okay. How are you feeling? Any change?
I believe I felt some waves of energy.
Okay, and where are you feeling those?
The throat lung area.
Okay. So just picture those waves as releasing whatever might be stuck there and just allow it to go.
Is that being held over from another lifetime?
That I'm not sure of in this short time, Cliff. When I do a session, a private session with people, I do a whole pre-session work and kind of try to get insights on what might be happening, and I just don't have that time in this venue.
Sure.
But, you know, you can help yourself improve by not accepting anything as permanent and knowing that you have total control over your body and improving your lung capacity if you want to improve it. So don't take everything that the doctors say as in terms of predictions as what is what you have to accept, okay?
Yeah, I'm not into their regimen anyway.
Okay. So please drink water, Cliff. Try taking another breath now and see how that feels.
Okay, and thank you.
Okay, so are you sensing some improvement right now?
I think so, yes. And,
okay.
And as you say, it's entirely up to me. Take it on. Make it better.
Correct. Awesome. And just
and
allow everything
much.
To continue to release, okay?
Sure. Thank
okay,
you very
thank
much.
You. You're welcome, Cliff.
Thanks for calling, Cliff. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, We did well, and so did you, Christy. Thank you so much for your generosity, and I know that it's extremely difficult to work, in such a short time period without having all the benefit of the consultation that you do beforehand. But
yes, I usually have people's birthdays and more of a. I actually ask for. I have like schematics of the body and where they're having, what kind of sensations. And I ask for that like at least 24 hours in advance of their session so I have time to actually get downloads of what it is that I need to work on. So I'm glad I had this opportunity to talk to you and be introduced to your listeners and also to provide support to the people who did call. So thank you.
And
on behalf of our listeners, we're most grateful for your generous willingness to help others. Once again, it is your website is starseedhealer.com, and your business is Healing Resonance. And please take advantage of all the wonderful content on Christy's website. And Christy, I want to thank you so much for sharing this time with us here at Starseed Radio.
It's definitely been my pleasure. Thank you. I enjoyed talking with you, Ariel.
And my pleasure as well. So I want to thank Vanya and Claudia for hosting the switchboard, Anastasia for the news. Lavendar will be back next week, and I want to wish you all the best week and the highest frequencies ever. Bye-bye, everyone.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.